It's time for Intersections, where art and science meet, your weekly hour of conversation, where you learn about curious ideas, creative works, and interesting phenomena with your host, Mark Kiesling, the founder of the Da Vinci Pursuit, and Krista Hoffman-Longton, Assistant Dean for Faculty Affairs and Professional Development at the Indiana University School of Medicine. Now, it's time for Intersections, where art and science meet.
I'm Mark Kiesling, the founder of the Da Vinci Pursuit, where we create a museum without walls so artists, scientists, and the community can create unique interactions and conversations. In today's conversation, we'll be talking about a new exhibition of ultrasound images that art students from Heron and the biomedical engineering students from the Engineering and Technology School have created over a few weeks. And with us are Dr. Stefan Petronic, Associate Professor of Photography and Intermedia. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Mark.
And I also have with us Dr. Ken Yoshida, who's the professor of bioengineering in the IUPUI School of Engineering and Technology. Hi, Ken.
Hello, Mark.
And I have two students with me, which is great. Ashita Samir, who's the biomedical engineering student participant. Hi, Ashita.
Hello.
And Alexander Toms, who's also a student participant, but he's a Heron student. So we've got a really good, welcome, Tom.
Hi, good morning.
I mean, not Tom, sorry.
no worries. But
Alexander. Anyway, what's really interesting about this is you guys really quintessentially really looked at what it would be to collaborate between artists and scientists. And in my experience, that doesn't always just happen. You know, we like to see the collaboration, but often it means the artist ends up doing something for illustrating something or doing something for the scientist, or the scientist appropriates something from science to use in their work. But this is really, this was really from the beginning, a design to create collaboration between. So whoever would like to start and tell me about how you built a collaboration between artists and scientists in this.
Well, I can just give a quick overview of like how it got started, because I think you make a great point. You know, as an artist and a faculty in arts, I have an appreciation for the science. My undergraduate degree was in biology. So I sort of made that switch, and you're absolutely right that often it can be two different disciplines and sort of feel like two different worlds, especially because the methodology and approaches that artists use and scientists use are really distinct. And so sometimes it's hard to get together in the sandbox and play. But there is a employee at the IU School of Medicine Department of Radiology that really works on the finance side of things, but he has an art background. And he was the one, his name is Lou Embry, and he proposed like, hey, what if we did something kind of a little bit different and used some of this imaging technology that radiology has access to in a non-conventional way? And it sort of started a conversation, and he's the one that kind of initiated this. And about a year ago, I got an email from him saying, hey, what do you think about trying to create some type of collaboration? And from there, it's just sort of expanded. I believe it was like our dean, Greg Hull, like wanted to also really like the idea of bringing in the sciences, and he had a contact over at biomedical engineering. And we just slowly sort of started discussing what the possibilities could be over last summer. And then it was in the fall that we organized a way for students to come together, both from art students from Heron and biomedical engineering students from the School of Engineering and Technology to come together for about 2 weeks to actually get to use this ultrasound imaging system, which neither of our schools have access to. We don't have this type of It's probably a no-brainer to say like the art, you know, like the School of Art and Design doesn't have a ultrasound machine, but right now, at least, like, Ken can fill in on many more details, but they don't have a functioning ultrasound imaging system right now either. So it was this great opportunity to get students to come together to use something that they don't normally get to use, and then see what could come out of that exploration.
That's great, Ken.
Yeah, I think we were invited from either Stefan or maybe it was from radiologist Emily Diller, who was another colleague of ours, to participate in this. And this really was an interesting exercise from our side. I'm a professor of biomedical engineering. I teach engineers, and we talk about ultrasound, and we have the machine, as people call it, an antique, because it's from 1996, and it's probably older than most of our students right now. It doesn't work anymore. So we had a device that was, and so we lost access to it, but this really presented itself as a really interesting opportunity to actually span beyond engineering. I teach physiology, and it was a chance to see something else. I often do work in animals, and I can see this incredible beauty that's inside the body that you can see that we actually don't take advantage of. We use some other objective measures that, you know, from a scientific side, but the beauty of it could be explored. And I thought this was an interesting opportunity to actually mix and see cross-culturally between engineering and art, what we can do. And I think the students, Ishita and Alexander, presented them, you know, this was really, they went all in on this. I thought this is an extremely interesting exercise from both sides.
Wow. And from both of the student perspectives. So what did you think when they brought this idea to you?
Yeah, so when I first heard about it, I was actually in my biocomputing class, which had nothing to do with the ultrasound devices. But it was like automatically when I heard the project, I was super interested in it because I myself worked in a radiation lab. And the first thing that you think when it was ultrasound, it was like, oh, this is used with like babies and, you know, to like find out ovarian cysts or something like that. And that was the first image that I had. And once they started explaining me like the project in itself and how it was going to be used in a creative sense rather than, you know, just the medical way of it, I was interested because that was something it was a different perspective for me, like completely. And even as I worked on the project, that was something that I kept thinking about, that I have no clue how they're going to use this into art. And when I saw the final product, it was amazing. So yeah.
That's great. Alexander?
Yeah, so I was also in a similar boat. I was super excited to have the project presented for us because growing up, I had a bunch of like kidney problems, and I had ultrasounds done on me all the time, like multiple times a year. I still have them once a year. I've got one coming up. So I have been pretty familiar with ultrasound growing up in my life. So I was just excited to actually get to work with the machine, but definitely like you were talking about before, I did feel like the integration between the art and science backgrounds, I feel like it was set up and facilitated very, very well to make this project a great success like it was.
Yeah. So either Ken or either any of you actually on the idea of, can you describe to a radio audience a little bit what the product is, what you've created? Whatever, like to go with that. Stefan, you could.
Stefan probably is the artist in the group that could explain it. But effectively, ultrasound makes pictures out of sound. And that from that standpoint, it uses, instead of light to image things, it uses a vocabulary of sound to make images that you can see, you present yourself and take a look at, analyze. And so in fact, what we have is an exhibition of images, but from an artistic standpoint. So I think Stefan, I would jump in, help okay. me.
well, I'm glad that Ken brought that up. You know, about just the mechanic, not so much all of the technology that makes ultrasound possible, because it's we had one of the IU radiology physicists, Mark
Holland.
Mark Holland. He was super instrumental in making this collaboration work because he is an expert with the machine. Ken is also quite adept, but the experience for me was very new. But he also gave us kind of an entry point into some of how that technology works, and it's really different. I like to think most human beings, it's like we're 90% visual oriented. Vision is so important to us, and so a lot of times that's like a box that we live in. We sort of don't understand what it means. Like if we talk about like a dolphin, and that dolphins have eyes, but they also have echolocation, and they use sound in order, like sonar, to sort of image the world around them and identify and sort of sketch out things. And we sort of like can't quite perceive that because we don't have that capacity or ability. So this notion of going below the surface, which is what the title of the exhibition is, that's at the Cultural Arts Gallery right now, really is, it's like a fascinating concept if you sort of like kind of remove yourself a little bit from the specifics and just think about, okay, this allows us to see beyond what we can see with our eyes. And I was hoping that this would be that type of engagement for the students, of just sort of thinking in a way outside of this visual constraint of looking with our eyes and thinking that way. And so the students were like, just to paint a better picture of how this worked, we had about 14 biomedical engineering students and I think 14 Herons art students come together. Now that's a lot of people. So we had to break everybody down. We had four subgroups of students. So we had about 6 to 8 students at one time working with the machine with Dr. Mark Holland, and also Ken here and myself. We would come together for each of these groups. And each group was approximately half art students and half biomedical engineering students. So, and they didn't know each other beforehand. The art students were all part of one introductory photography class, but the biomedical engineering students, they actually volunteered to participate in this. It wasn't directly tied to a class, but nobody knew each other beforehand. And so there was a little getting to know each other and getting to know sort of this machine. And each group, over a 2-week period, they got two opportunities for about, 2.5 hours to work with the machine. So they kind of got a trial run, and then they kind of came back and also got to work with the machine together. And everybody brought in specimens or objects, and you can't image things in air. You have to image things in a liquid medium. And so things would be submerged into water for us, I think, out of simplicity, and the students would operate the probe and work the imaging console and record imagery and videos from what the ultrasound picked up as they explored their different objects and specimens. And so it was really interesting to see what the students would bring in. And there was a lot of data that was created, or a lot of images that were collected and videos that were collected. And then the students had access to that within their groups and to create whatever they wanted for this exhibition. There was a loose idea that we would have an exhibition later in the spring. Again, this was happening last fall, about 6 months ago. So, and the students then kind of took artistic license to do everything or anything that they wanted. And then the final works that they put forward are the ones that we printed and then placed on the wall. And there's also some video pieces as well. that
yeah, so it's like you go in, and I've seen a little bit of it. You go into a gallery, right? But you now right. have images, but you also have some that are moving in there. So it's a traditional, like on the walls, but it's really, really immersive because what you're seeing, you're not anticipating that being, you know, an image using sound. You know, for some of us, it's sometimes difficult, but in a way, what you're talking about is using sound as an alternative to the eyes to, as a microscope in a way, to go deeper. And we're not used to that sometimes. As you said, Stefan, how was Ashita, how was it as an engineering student to approach the art of this? Did you have something in your brain? How did you do this?
So it was really interesting because here's the thing. When I thought of this, like just this project in general, I was like, oh, so I need to like take things that would probably look like human bodies. Like, you know, that's what you use ultrasound for. And so I remember taking a rubber ducky as one of the specimens to like look under the ultrasound. And that didn't turn out really well. And because of course there's just air inside a rubber ducky, you're not gonna see much. And then I also took a plushie, I remember, and I, like once you squeezed it, there were like air bubbles coming out everywhere. So that wasn't, you know, interesting either. But then one of the art students actually got like a salt lamp. And that was the most interesting thing that I've seen under like an ultrasound device. And being like the engineering part of me couldn't come up with such things, because for me, it was more of like, oh, I need to get something that's going to have like organs or something like that from the inside. So we had people bring like a banana to it, and it was really interesting. And then when I saw the salt lamp, it was something completely like, it had little, you know, dots on it, and the picture in itself looks so interesting, and I would have never thought of that. So that was one of the best part of this collaboration, to see how art students had different perspectives when it came to the same project that even we were working on.
Yeah, and how did that then, it obviously affected you as an engineering student going forward, right? Having that experience. So how do you see that informed your future work? That how did it help you?
Yeah, so actually there was another talk that we as biomedical engineers got to attend, and it was Dr. Carl Lewis talking about perspectives in science. And in one of that, and this is really clear to me, there was a random painting of something with like wooden frames and, you know, all of these kinds of weird things which turned into a human body. And it was an open-ended question that, oh, how do you perceive this? And using whatever like information I had got through this like project, I was like, oh, like immediately my brain went into saying that, oh, those rectangle and the triangle that was put together to form a human body looked like a picture out of a radiation device or something. And the interesting part was when this picture was done, it was way before even when like radiation machines were even invented. So, you know, piecing those things together, that, oh, like art and science could actually be a thing, is one of the most interesting like concepts that I learned from this project in itself. And being the engineering student, I think when I think of art, it's probably just lines and like circles with like a number of dimensions, or like, you know, making CAD designs or something like that. And that's art to me. So
yeah, it was... That's great, because what I'm hearing in there, Ken, it sounds like this is not an exception. She was seeing through the eyes of the lens of an artist, the potential that engineering has, which I think has to go to the heart of creating things in the future.
Yeah, I think this was interesting experience, because inspiration doesn't have to come from the science side. It could come from the art side. It could come from the world outside. And a lot of, I agree, the salt lamp was really fascinating, because as an engineer, we make devices like ultrasound to be perfect, right? You make nice, beautiful pictures that are visible, that you can analyze, but and minimize the artifacts. But what the art students were doing was, in fact, taking advantage of the artifacts, the things that we were trying to get rid of, and using those things as the media. And the melting of this salt crystal in water was fascinating. It's really fascinating.
That I just can't even begin to imagine. And then Alexander, when I think about from your side, you know, wow, that you get to use this tool, but it was more than that. So what did you learn about yourself from the whole engineering science side?
So yeah, kind of along with what they've been saying, you know, the like when you approach this machine, I'd never used one before. It's not common that many people have, right? It's completely different than, you know, whatever you're expecting. I mean, even me having ultrasounds been done on me numerous times, once you actually step up and use the device, it's completely different, and you really have to situate yourself with it. So yeah, like Ken was saying, from the engineering side, they're focusing on like that perfection of everything, removal of artifacts. So in the process of playing around with it, you just find that you're not looking for anything correct. You're just, from an artist's perspective, you're looking for something that's visually interesting. Going into the project, we were told that, you know, abstraction was really going to lend a hand here. So that was something at the forefront of my mind. So I was just really looking at whatever visual intrigue that I could create in the process of working with the machine. And then some of the work that I did was working with collaging of these images. So I was looking at putting multiple together from sort of a sequencing standpoint, and how these abstract forms would interact with each other to create a larger piece. Now that tied into a different class that I was taking last semester. So it was all kind of this takeaway in that sense, but I really did enjoy working with it from that standpoint.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a really good point. What you were seeing it in your, what Ken was talking about, you want those artifacts gone when they were looking at you, right?
Yeah.
You want it as clear as it can be so that the doctors can see what's going on. Absolutely. And yet you had the opportunity to have to shift your brain to think, okay, now I'm not going for perfection, I'm going for beauty, or I'm going for curiosity. That's correct. A different thing. So Stefan, when you had lots of students, what was happening to your art students when they had this new tool in their arsenal to play with?
You know, I think at first, like it took everybody just a while. Like Alexander was saying, you had to kind of situate yourself with the imaging system, and just sort of like, you know, just it's a tool, just like a camera might be a tool, like a light camera or paintbrush. You know, it's it has certain ways that it works and certain ways that doesn't work or doesn't seem to sort of affect thing. And so it's really an exploration. And so I think one of the most fun parts about this whole exercise or exploration for students is that, you know, they were strategizing a bit of like what could they bring in without even at the first time they did it, they didn't even know. I mean, they kind of had an introduction, a little introduction to ultrasound. And, you know, we all have a certain cultural associations, like, you know, like, oh, you get ultrasound when, you know, you're expecting a baby or in other medical situations. So there was just like a lot of like, what could we bring that would be interesting? And we don't even know what's necessarily going to work or be interesting. And then they pick up the probe, which is sort of just like this handheld device. Doesn't look dangerous, doesn't look particular, but it's just sort of like this kind of round, knobby thing. And you press that up against the object that you're trying to image. And so, but the way that you even manipulate it has a great impact on the image that you see on the imaging screen. So there's a real nice direct feedback that happens with a machine like this. There's sort of an instantaneous awareness of, okay, I did this and that's what happened. And now I've tried this and that, and now this is happening. And so I think that just that process was really interesting and very hands-on as an experience for students that they could, you know, they could just like experience. Like, I think not unlike going to, when you're a kid and you go to a museum or you go over to a zoo and you get to go to the touch tank or something, and you're working like that. So there's like this really direct learning that happens. And I think for the art students, that, you know, they were like probably a bit more intimidated by the technology component of this, because it's like, oh, there's this big machine, and you know, are we going to break it, or, you know, how does it work? And gosh, that's a lot of buttons, and so on and so forth. But I think they really also enjoyed that, you know, what I really loved hearing with this experience was how the students, both the biomedical engineering students and the art students at Heron, like really appreciated what the other students kind of brought into the room with them, that their perspective, and really enjoy just print, maybe as much as getting to work with the tool itself, but it really enjoyed seeing what the other students were doing and just how they approached the whole experience. And there seemed to be a real respect and a widening of their perspective because of seeing how students, you know. And I think that's one of the wonderful takeaways from this excursion, if you will, or this interdisciplinary exercise of just coming together and just seeing how we approach things and really and learning from each other in that way. I think some of the BME students were like, I would have never thought to bring a salt lamp in, like Ashita was saying. But I think also some of the art students were also like, wow, like I wouldn't have thought to bring in like a mouse that you would image underwater, or I wouldn't have necessarily thought maybe as objectively as some of the science students think about how they might be able to render an image from an object, and be maybe more precise and more detailed about how they were thinking about how they could do it. So we put together a short video of about 9 of the students that participated on both sides. And that's really the take-home message that I heard that comes out of that. And that's part of the exhibition as well, the video of students speaking about the experience.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of you gave me the ability to watch that video and hearing the students. It was really amazing. We're talking with Dr. Stefan Petronic, Dr. Ken Yoshida, Ashita Samir, and Alexander Toms about their installation of ultrasound images in the Heron School of Art. I assume it's in the gallery at Heron, or is it in a different gallery? Just in case.
It's the Cultural Arts Gallery.
The Cultural Arts Gallery, okay.
Is in the student, I always say student center, but it's the campus center.
Center. Okay, yeah. Great. So public can't get access to it there. We'll be right back.
No alarm clock. No traffic to negotiate. No staff meetings to attend. Sunday is your day, so do yourself a favor, tune out all that noise and tune in for Sunday Baroque.
Sunday morning from 5 to 9 here on 88.7 WICR.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Kiesling, and today we're having this conversation that is so interesting about the use of ultrasound to create art and to have this intersection between biomedical engineering students and artists. It's just so amazing. And right before we went for the break, I was just thinking about the idea you were talking about using really what makes me think of as a stylus. So Stefan, when you were talking about the tool, there is this big machine, but the actual part that you're manipulating, right? It rotates in space. It's not all that different than some of our listeners may be used to using a pen tool on their iPad. In other words, you have to rotate, you have to move, you get different things at different ways of pressure and all that. And so I would think that it fit in the hands of an art student, that the transition happened naturally to once they got past this big thing, to the fact that I'm using a stylus and I have control over what I'm seeing.
I think you're right. You know, it really was. And literally you get to put something in your hands, which is probably the most intuitive way we as human beings experience the world. You know, it's like with our eyes and our hands. And so, yeah, that idea that you could directly like touch the tool makes it, I think, a great imaging system, because we had conversations earlier, like the faculty that and staff that were involved in developing this project, you know, what would might be the most appropriate method and tool, like, because radiology has, they have access, they have MRI machines, they have CT scanners that were also discussed as a possibility, but it just seemed like ultrasound is the students could actually operate it, and there wouldn't have to be like a filter of a technician just to be able to run the equipment in the same way. You know, Dr. Mark Holland was really helpful instrumental in making this work, but it's a little different when you have a really large machine and you have to be sometimes out of the room because of safety concerns, like, you know, radiation exposure or something like that, or magnetic exposure. So this was really intuitive of an approach.
Yeah, and I would guess, and Ken and Ashita, you can answer this, but I would guess that not trying for perfection might actually help in the actual development of biotechnology. Am I right? So when you get to play with it, and you're not trying to improve it.
Absolutely. I think that's part of our method, in fact, is to start from imperfection and to try to engineer perfection into such devices. I have to say that the art students and the students themselves, when they were playing with this machine beyond the stylus of the probe, there is the other half of it, which is the machine, and there's a bunch of knobs on there, if you've looked at an ultrasound machine. And Mark Holland did his best to instruct the students on how to use the machines. And so I have to say the students, both on both art side and engineering side, mastered the art of knobology, the use of the knobs to make images and use the machine to generate images.
Can I actually, I love that word. I've never heard that, knobology. That's just great.
Yeah, I think it's Mark's term. It's knobology. Yeah,
I think that's genius, because many of the tools that we have, both as engineers and also as artists, have a lot of knobology today. They're exactly. Digital and they have a lot of that. And we have to, even if the knobs are not physical, we have to do them on screen, because that's kind of the metaphor. I'm really interested, Alexander, on the break, you just mentioned a little bit about meeting off time with the biomed students and the collaboration. And I'm really want to follow on with that. So you want to give our listeners a little introduction to what you were telling me?
Certainly. Yeah. So basically, like I was talking about on the break, the biomed students that I was working with in my, you know, smaller group, it was just awesome. All of them really expressed a great interest in what we as the artists were going to do with the images that we got from our session, you know, outside of the room, where we were going to take them. And they coordinated with us to meet when me and the other Aharon students in my group set to meet, so that we could work on the larger collaborative piece. And I thought that was just so awesome that they were really interested in our perspective. You know, we talked a lot about that sharing of perspectives, and I think that again just really speaks to the great facilitation of this project, and it really turned into this, you know, symbiotic relationship where, you know, no one set of students was just putting out and not receiving anything back. It just became a great acquiral informative process for everyone, you know.
Ashita, does that match with some of what you felt too?
Yeah, definitely. So an interesting thing that I realized was that we had been given like the freedom to take whatever pictures or whatever videos that we needed. And the good thing was that we could And as Ken mentioned, the novology on that was extreme. Like, we had things that could like increase or decrease brightness, contrast, and we can like add text to our images or videos. And the fact was that we were just trying to get the perfect image, as everyone was talking. But the photography and the art students, they kept mentioning that, oh yeah, I mean, at this angle, we could do really, you know, something really interesting with this thing. And so we tried to click pictures when we found anything that was interesting. And that was something that was, you know, it was odd to look at, because when I was trying to do it, it was, okay, yeah, I'm just trying to get this one perfect image with like everything centered and all of that stuff. But then when the art students, and you know, they tried helping us that, oh, this photo looks really good. And so we tried to, you know, keep up, and that relation that we had with the art students and the BME students was something different than what we generally, because our main interactions are with engineers, where we're trying to correct each other's mathematical side of things. And here it was that, oh, I think if you like increase the contrast, this part would be enhanced more. And that was something that I really learned from them. So yeah, as Alex mentioned, that it was really a symbiotic relation. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I know that what makes a true collaboration successful, the end product that I look at, is not only what you did in the gallery, but what you're talking about. When people take on enthusiasm and passion, and you guys as students decide to meet outside the regular class time because you're so excited about your interaction with one another, then I think all your professors have succeeded in helping you to understand what a collaboration is. And that enthusiasm, and I can hear it in both your voices, that this was a passionate project, that you transcended that it was a project for class. And that, how much do you both want to keep doing stuff with this tool?
I'd really like to continue to work with it again, especially since, you know, I have a personal background with the process, just coordinating use of a device in the future, I think would be, you know, the main difficulty. I don't have $100,000+ to buy one of my own and set up in my house, right? But given another opportunity, I would jump on it, certainly.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, for me, it was the fact that, you know, there's more to black and white pictures when like seen on an ultrasound, and there could be color involved with it. And, you know, just looking beyond that fact and working on such collaborations is, you know, it's really interesting to me. And this is something that I would really like, you know, try to work on in the future, given any opportunities. So, yeah.
Yeah. What's amazing to me, Ken, I was thinking about even what Ashita transitioned us beautifully into, was it's the idea that you're working with this data that really exists mathematically. So, I mean, you're converting sounds into some sort of numbers that exist there, and then you can convert that back to image, and you convert it to color. And it seems to me that that's one of the really exciting things about imaging today, is this ability that you guys can use it, repurpose it in multiple ways.
Indeed, I think that in fact, we all use digital cameras these days, and the digital camera is a digital media. And in fact, it lends itself to this sort of manipulation. Some of the things that I really felt that the art students did, and I think Alex's work was genius in this, is that the ultrasound machine has very low resolution. Our webcams have much higher resolution than the ultrasound machine does. And yet in these exhibition works, they're relatively large, 8x10 or bigger. And so, you know, you have resolution issues, and the collage of placing multiple images together in a fashion that meant something, I thought was an excellent, really, really good use of the limitations, you know, to overcome the limitations of this machine.
Yeah, Alex, I see that being great, because you could keep the individual resolution pretty good by having it as a collage. But the overall, you're working in the canvas was large enough that you could have the resolution to print. So,
right.
Wow.
Yeah. So like, I can't remember exactly how many individual ultrasound images went into the collage. There were quite a few, though. I'd say maybe even upwards of 30 or around there. So I again wanted to work with a larger scale because I'm a big fan of large prints. And like Ken was saying, that resolution is pretty small. So in working with numerous images and fanning them out like that and making this much larger image object, I had the capability to print large like that at, you know, the proper 300 pixels per inch, where it wasn't going to, you weren't going to see those pixelation of any of the images, and it comes out nice and proper in the size that it's meant to. So
yeah, and I would assume, Alexander, that when you take it into something that's a digital tool that you're using to make those prints and collage, that you also can take advantage of some of the new, which is what I was talking about with Ken, some of the new processing, because you're dealing with numbers, it can actually, it can fill in for some of the missing information when you're not using it as a scientific tool. When you're using it as an art tool, you can go ahead and have it correct, right? The pixelation, right, or whatever. So that was also to your advantage that these tools are able to work with the numbers.
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, it was all constructed through Photoshop. And I didn't do any, like they have like AI bumping of resolution and stuff on there. I actually didn't have to do any of that. Like I said, since I used like so many individual images, I'm always thinking about that, the end result of print of whatever work I'm creating. So I was thinking about, you know, how large I was going to be able to print it, given the resolution of the individual images from the get-go. So I didn't actually have to do much of any fudging of any of that with any of the software in Photoshop. Mainly all I did was the arranging of stuff. And then there was a couple like healing brush blending of a couple minor things just to make it a little bit more successful in that regard. But yeah, definitely utilized the tools in Photoshop to create the piece.
And I love all that. You know, my smartphone, I keep getting more amazed all the time. My iPhone, the work that's being done behind on image processing in the phone, it's really amazing to me that, you know, that it can find the horizon, it can do certain things that, and it isn't taking away from my art as a photographer at all. It's adding a whole lot of the processing. So I think that's really great that they were able to do this. I know that we've been talking about the advantages for students, but Stefan and Ken, what were the advantages of faculty getting to work together in this way? Because usually you guys are isolated in different silos, honestly, until somebody puts you together. And this was put together in the right way, not meaning that somebody at department head said, I think it'd be good if you guys collaborated. It was, you had a project. So talk about that.
Yeah, I'll go first quick, and then Ken, you fill in any gaps you'd like. I love that this project sort of grew out of someone's enthusiasm for what if possibility. Like Lou, that works in radiology, that he, you know, he now kind of works more on financial accounting stuff, but has a background in the arts and a degree in the arts, was like, what if we did something different? Then that kind of started as like a grassroots, if you will, like you said. And that, I think, goes a long way in sort of creating this project and being like very open-ended about what could be. We didn't have like hard and fast objectives that we had to facilitate. So I think, you know, IUPUI, the campus is like, with all the students, graduate and undergraduate students, there's somewhere around 30,000 students, I believe. And so it's a big campus, and we have a lot of buildings, and there's a lot of faculty and a lot of smart people doing projects that they're passionate about, their research and as well as teaching. And so we don't get, we don't all go into the same room, you know, it's like physically kind of not possible, but we don't have a lot of touch points where we're all getting to interact. We interact locally but not in sort of that global way. And so having an idea like this come to fruition and being able to kind of reach across disciplines, it's not unique, but it's relatively uncommon, even though, you know, there's a lot of excitement and has been for, I think, a couple decades about this idea of interdisciplinary work, because it opens up synergies that you may just never think of. And the students are like a perfect example of that, just like they're sharing of their perspectives. And I think it just follows right through with faculty. Like Ken and I didn't know each other before this project started, even though we've both been working on campus for, I'm not sure how long Ken has been here, but he's longer than me, and I've been here for over 10 years. And so it's a very real thing that when people get introduced to each other and get to talk to each other, that they don't normally come across, new ideas pop in their head, new ideas pop in our heads, and new possibilities of maybe of just starting different conversations. And it doesn't always mean that has to end up, it to be meaningful, it doesn't mean it has to end up into a like a grant submission or like a scholarly output. But I think just making that connection, I mean, it just brings us together, creates community in a way that's important, because we're a school, like we're a university, and we're all part of, like, we're all on the same team on a certain level. And so I think that's really important to remember just on that level.
That's great. Ken?
Yeah. So the notion of cross-pollination, it really is important in this, that we are in fact a community. I didn't know Stefan before this project started. And it comes in my field, we are biomedical engineers. We're at the crossroads as well. We're at the crossroads of medicine, science, mathematics, and engineering. And art somehow doesn't fit into that intersection. But having art in that intersection, I found to be extremely rewarding, because it brought some ideas, even in my own area of research, it brought some ideas that I hadn't thought about. It came from the art side of things. And in fact, that cross-pollination actually has made a difference in terms of viewing science differently and viewing things in a more holistic fashion.
Yeah, I'm such a big advocate of the idea that we don't think of our disciplines a lot of times, that we find that intersection that's there. And I think you're right. You guys did it in a natural way where everybody was treated as coming to the project equally. Nobody had a preconceived idea, including the person that originated the idea, just thought the person was thinking, this is a cool thing that maybe we could use. And I think some of the best ones are that way. I think, you know, we named ourselves the Da Vinci Pursuit because I think Da Vinci was one of those individuals who didn't know where they were at any given time. And that's why the works that Da Vinci did are all over the place, you know, from designing implements of war to doing things that are beautiful paintings, and trying the technology that he used even to get eyes in Mona Lisa to be, you know, ubiquitous. So I think this idea, we needed to move separate to be able to dive deeply into the amount of knowledge that we can develop. But I think we are realizing that it's back. We have to get back to that other connection too, at an upper level of that. And that's really why there shouldn't be STEM by itself. And I don't like the acronym STEAM either. I just think we ought to be learning, right? Interdisciplinary as much as we can, as well as deep. And so that's a really big part of it. What I'm curious about also in this is that each of you, I think, brought something to this, but you also have a message for other people. And so I'm going to take a break with us. But after the break, I'd like us to think about the idea of the story and the story in terms of what you're trying to tell the public as well, because that's another piece. We always say it's art and science and community, and this is the community piece. And we'll be right back.
Hello, Indiana. This is Dr. Laura Merrifield Wilson, host of Positively Politics. I'd like to invite you to join our conversation on the current issues and events in politics with the experts who know them best. Every Saturday morning here on WICR at 11:30, we break down the sometimes negative and often complicated world of politics in a nonpartisan, straightforward, and educationally rooted way. You won't want to miss the discussion on Positively Politics Saturday morning at 11:30 right here on The Diamond.
Welcome back. I'm having a conversation about the whole idea of using imaging, and it was used in biomedical fields, working with biomedical engineering students and working with Heron School of Art students to really create a collaboration. And we always think of the triangle, and I mentioned right before the break that I think of there's artists and there's scientists, and then there's the community. And so a big part of this, I know, is you want to tell the story of collaboration and how important this was to the community. And that's part of why the exhibition is designed the way it is. Who'd like to tackle that one?
I can do it.
Okay.
I guess, a big thing as an artist, when thinking about, again, always thinking about final presentation of the work, like in a gallery setting, with work like this, I think that from a community standpoint, one of the most important things is going to be like inspiration, you know, that community members could come in and see the exhibition and see the work and read about what was done with, you know, the BME poster on the wall and hear student response through the videos that we have set up in one corner and look at all the work and really see something like that and be inspired to look for similar opportunities in their life. And, you know, they see these interdisciplinary things that we're doing between the arts and sciences, and they see that connection. And I think, again, you know, inspiration is a huge element for the community seeing a project like this.
Go ahead. Ishida.
I was just going to say that this project actually opened my eyes to a lot of different things that I might do in like my free time. For example, how science and art can, you know, intermix to give you something like origami or maybe dance or, you know, singing. And these are just some hobbies, but if you think about it, there's so much science involved in such artistic things. And, you know, coming back to the project that we did in itself was the fact that there was not only a collaboration between, taking an ultrasound device and taking random objects from your day-to-day life and giving out pictures, but also the collaboration between the communities of like the School of Engineering and Technology and the Heron School of Art. So that's the most, you know, that's the highlight for me.
Stefan?
I love that. I think I was just gonna like add that. So the gallery, usually an art gallery, although at least from an artistic standpoint, we kind of talk about it as the white cube, and there's certain there's negatives with the idea that a gallery can be exclusionist and like a lot of the community doesn't actually come. But generally, an art gallery is supposed to be one that's quite open and welcoming. And so like anybody can be there. And so it can be a place where you just share ideas. I like that. And I also like just thinking like, so if the community comes in and looks at some of these images, that they don't just say, wow, that's cool. Like, that's quite a wild image that they were able to do. But that they also just think like, yeah, that's kind of different. That's not something that we think of every day with when we think of ultrasound. We don't think of like, you know, imaging a dead fish, or we don't think of imaging like a mouse, a computer mouse, or a underwater speaker. Or there were all kinds of really interesting objects that the students brought in to image. And I hope that they take away just like, wow, it's interesting things happen when we do something different that's not expected, right? Like it's interesting when we like mix it up and we have an unusual combination, even a combination that generally is conventionally, the conventional wisdom is that's not something that would work well. because a lot of times those are areas where a lot of new knowledge, new understanding about the world can come to be. So when we go through those places.
To that same point, Stefan, I think it's expansive on both ends. Like you were saying, if you're looking at it from that, you know, ultrasound radiology perspective, you don't think of, you know, the speaker, or the computer mouse, you know, being imaged. But I think it's also expansive from like the artistic perspective, because when you're just thinking about art, ultrasound isn't something that initially comes to mind as well. So I think that it's a great exhibition for any type of viewer that comes in with a science-based or an artistic-based mind, because they can get that same expansion of perspective on either end.
That's a really good
point. I went into this thinking that at the end of this, it would be nice to meet people at the Heron School. But at the end of the day, it would be nice to have cool art that's on our office walls. But in fact, the take home was beyond the exhibition, beyond the art. In fact, it was the community that's actually there. Behind the scenes, there are so many people that are beyond who are here in this chat. But like my colleagues, they're all very supportive. I think Stefan found that his department chairs very supportive of this. And at the School of Radiology, there's a lot of enthusiasm to go across the boundaries, across the silos, and to work as a community. And my discovery from all of this was that, in fact, we are a community. In fact, there is a very strong community there, and that we should be taking advantage of that community more often.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things we worked with a radiologist in kidney work about 6 years ago on campus in one of the labs. And we were looking at trying to ubiquitously put across the campus the images that were created as a result of that, because we were working with music and art as a part of from the technology side. And I think you already have marketing doing that kind of work, but it's all images of students and words. Wouldn't it be great, Stefan, if we could take this gallery apart and it's not in somebody's office, but we put it in hallways everywhere. And so that you really see the synergy and the community, and you have the gallery becomes the whole campus, and we have people in the public having discussions. You know, my thought was, wow, wouldn't it be great if in one of the hospitals there was a monitor that had some of these images? And, or if you're sitting, you know, waiting for somebody in surgery, wouldn't it be great in the waiting room to have student images work rather than the really boring stuff that they put on there? So I really wonder if all of you can't advocate on campus for a way of telling the story even bigger than just a special exhibition.
Yeah. Stefan, we have done that. We have started this conversation with campus. And I think you're really involved with this. I'll let you take this.
Well, I would just say those are some great ideas, Mark. And I'm gonna be like jotting some of those down because I hadn't even thought of some of those. And I totally agree. I mean, I've always, as a art faculty, I've always also believed in trying to make art and putting it outside the art building. I love the art building, and wonderful things happen, and we want people to come into the art building, but a lot of people don't ever make it to the art building. And so it's really great to disseminate and just to get, just to share. And, you know, sharing it in like potentially like clinical settings, like where patient-facing settings would be like really interesting, as well as like hallways. And I know we have some plans to try to exhibit some of this work at a really big national conference that happens for radiologists every year up in Chicago later this fall, called the RSNA. And those are interesting places too, because it sort of is trying to make people that are, you know, in radiology saying, hey, you know, maybe this is something that you might think of doing, something outside of the box in your own sphere. you know, but I definitely think sharing the stories in like places where you don't necessarily expect it. And it's not like, oh, a formal, the formal exhibition is a really good idea. And I know we have somebody in IU Communications or on the medical school side that has brought up this idea of trying to place some of the imagery on the teleprompters, but these monitors and displays that we have around different parts of the campus that have certain content that it rotates through. So.
Yeah, I just think you're right. There's such a role for it. You're ripe to create community across campus. I love the work. I really want to thank our guests for bringing us this kind of cross thought about how we might have art and science work together collaboratively, not just to display art or not just to be a fun thing for engineers, but it becomes an essential part of how we grow, learn, and be curious. You at home, I'd encourage you to take what we've been talking about today, have discussions about it, and have conversations. That's one way of extending this. What do you think about that intersection of art and science? I'm Mark Kiesling, reminding you to tune in again next time when we explore more curiosities from the intersection of art and science.
You've been listening to Intersections, where art and science meet, with your host, Mark Kiesling, the founder of the Da Vinci Pursuit, and Krista Hoffman Longton, Assistant Dean for Faculty Affairs and Professional Development at the Indiana University School of Medicine. Just a reminder, the Da Vinci Pursuit brings together artists, scientists, and members of the community to engage in conversation that explore the intersections between art and science. We encourage you to explore further in conversation with others. Any of the ideas explored in today's show at www.thedaVinciPursuit.com.